This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's coming up to 7:14. This is the evening edition with Lynn, and we're following up now on a story from earlier this month. And it's a complete change of pace from the rest of the show because I don't know about you guys, I need it. So we're talking about archiving our history. Now, this is coming from something that the Sultan of Perak, Sultan Nazrin Muizuddin Shah, said while launching the Perak National Archive of Malaysia. So he stressed that archiving is important when it comes to protecting our sovereignty, and that losing access to history would be like having memory loss. And in general, I think the concept of archiving is really fascinating because it's something that a lot of us do without really realizing it, or at least some form of it. And that's whether it's keeping old photos or letters, our own, our parents, our grandparents. I think most of us have a drawer at home, which is just chock full of these things. And now in the digital age, I think we are also seeing this with, doing our best to store everything, our old messages, our photos, our emails in the cloud, just to ensure that we have them when we want them. And on a bigger scale, right, those who archive national documents and records face a huge task, especially with, like we were talking about, those advancements in technology. They also have to look at how to make them easily accessible to the public while dealing with accuracy. And I think that is really what I wanted to focus on, which is just this idea of the role of archives when it comes to ensuring that our history is preserved and is accurate and accessible. We're going to be talking about that after this with Simon Soon from the Cultural Centre at UM, as well as the Malaysia Design Archive. In the meantime, though, a question for everybody. Have you been to an archive? Have you been to our national archive, for that matter? Or how is it that you access or engage with our country's history? You can let us know by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So now, as mentioned, on the line, Simon Soon from the Cultural Centre at University of Malaysia, as well as the Malaysia Design Archive. Simon, thank you so much for joining us. So what is the purpose of archiving, and what gets included in archives?
Typically an archive is a repository of historical records. These records are generated as a product of regular legal, commercial, administrative, or social, and sometimes even sort of like personal activities, right? So the word archive has a Greek origin, and it derives from the word archaeon, which normally refers to the dwelling of an archon, who is a magistrate or ruler sort of figure, where important state documents were filed and interpreted in ancient Greece. Now, because of this, we therefore often associate the archive with the state, where an institution is mandated with the task of preserving documents that it recognizes as enduring in its cultural and historical value. So here I want to quickly point out the difference between an archive and a personal collection in many ways. All of us keep things, but some of us build collections out of our pet topics. What distinguishes the archive from a private collection is that the archive is systematic as an inventory of what it contains, and the inventory serves the purpose of making the knowledge publicly accessible.
So in that same vein, I guess, what role do archives play when it comes to our history? And, you know, what role do archivists play?
I think archives are, you know, it's one of the few institutions set up to preserve historical knowledge and information. Unlike the museum, which collects artifacts, or the art gallery, which contains the nation's works of art, historically the archives principally focuses on collecting public records, right? Information about government conduct. Of course, over the course of the 20th century, what is considered worth preserving for posterity has expanded significantly. So today, the archive holds many different things, not just textual records that is connected to governance. With this expansion, however, I think an archivist continues to grapple with the age-old question, you know, what is worth preserving? How best to preserve it? How to design a system that allows for this information to be retrievable easily? In an ideal world, we should collect and preserve as much as possible, right? But I think this is an impossible task. So in a sense, the archivist is burdened by the responsibility of deciding, you know, what should and should not be collected.
So do you see more public interest when it comes to accessing archives?
you know, it wasn't too long ago that you find, you know, a place like Akinjara almost devoid of people. But just before NCO started, I was surprised to learn from colleagues who have been going there regularly that the visitors' numbers have visibly sort of like increased, especially after the, I guess, the Minang general elections, right? I think there is a sense that, you know, sometimes you see up to 20 to 30 people parking themselves there at any given day. So it does seem to indicate that more people are taking an active role in engaging with historical document. I wouldn't connect this with to a growing sort of like public interest in history, since I think I actually believe that, you know, the interest has always sort of like been there. But I think what it suggests is a shift in attitude where the public is willing to play a more active role in finding out about the past for themselves rather than through the interpretation of, say, an academic or historian. So beyond the state archive, there is also a growing movement of independent archives that focuses on specific themes or areas. I belong to one such Malaysia Design Archive, and I've learned that there are also sort of like initiatives to set up an archive on the history of sort of education in Malaysia.
And would you say that archives in general are accessible to the public?
Well, there are different levels of sort of like access, right? So I think with the National Archive, for example, one of the main sort of like problems that a lot of people face that you have to contend with two different sort of search engines. One is physically sited at Arxiv, which is way more comprehensive. The other one, one has to make the journey, sign up, perform the search at any given point, make a request of up to 10 documents and wait for a few hours before the documents are delivered. It's a very time-consuming and slow process, but there is a rhythm to it. And I have to say the archive is there, often very helpful. You know, but increasingly, I think the direction that archives are moving towards is to sort of make their materials available so online. And we have heard recently that there are commitments from the archive to share more of their documents online. And I feel, you know, this should be sort of like highly encouraged. As much as I like engaging with extra documents, nothing beats having the opportunity to actually find things in the archive at 2 a.m. in the morning.
And how would you describe Malaysia's overall approach when it comes to archiving?
Well, I imagine what counts as overall here refers primarily to state sponsored sort of like archives. On this front, there are attempts to make more documents publicly accessible digitally. It's a gradual process, but I see a commitment there. I think being in the field, one sense that there is already a loss of trust in the archive as a repository. It has resulted in a lot of hesitancy to amongst different individuals to donate personal documents and collections to archives simply because there's a fear that it will be lost in sort of like the labyrinth of a system where we perceive the archive to sort of like be, or that the National Archive possesses a politicized sort of selection criteria that only privileges particular voices and communities. Of course, this is not always sort of true, and this is an image problem that I think the archive has to sort of come to terms with.
And if we look at other countries, I mean, how do they go about it?
So I think that there's a lot of emphasis on public-facing cultural institutions today to actually engage and build audiences in order to sort of justify their upkeep, right? And I think one of the most interesting things that I've come across is the National Archive of Singapore sort of citizen archivist project. What this platform does is to share historical documents online and invite the public to annotate and transliterate many of these documents so that the records or the information themselves can have a wider reach. Now, if you can picture this, there comes a time when a retired school teacher, in a retired school teacher's life at the age of 60, that they might still want to sort of like have an active role that they can participate in society, right? All it takes is for them now to turn on the computer and they're able to sort of, for example, read old Jawi newspaper articles and set for themselves the task of spending 2 hours a day transliterating the Jawi newspaper article. Now, granted, it might take the person 2 hours to finish a short article. But let's think of the scale here. Multiply this person by 100, you get 100 articles. Or a more likely scenario is that you can also multiply it by duration, right? The person is committed to this exercise for about a year, for example. In either case, you end up with a sustained body of new information that before this been closed off to a younger generation because they could not reach out. So if there's any hope, I like to imagine that everyone will one day realize that when it comes to history, there's always a role for a person to play. And I think archives are in many ways trying to sort of like activate these sort of public participation and get them to sort of feel a sense of ownership in the archives.
And this is something that I've been asking, right? Could you talk to us about your own experience of being in an archive and engaging with historical documents?
Well, I spoke briefly about just now about the process of finding materials in Arkib Negara, right? It's actually a very time-consuming and slow process. What I do get out of it is that I think nothing beats the kind of serendipitous sort of discoveries that one might find in the archive or sifting through archival documents. A lot of it is probably very dry. They're probably sort of like irrelevant to your research. But occasionally, I think one could discover a whole different range of voices if one were to sort of like do some patient digging. I think patience is key. And what I like about archives is that it often contains a lot of these really interesting nuggets of sort of like details and information that throws me off course a little and then settles my expectation and ideas of what we can learn from the past.
So Sultan Nasrin has stressed the importance of archiving in protecting our national sovereignty. Do you think it serves that function?
Well, I don't really have a lot to say about the role that archives play in safeguarding national sovereignty, right? That's something that I'm not sure how that's justified. But to his credit, I think His Majesty Sultan Nasrin is someone who walks the talk, right? If you have time, do check out a website that is largely sort of like, you know, an initiative of sorts. It's called the Economic History Media. The website features data from colonial historical statistical records obtained from both the National Archive of Malaysia to the National Archive Offices of the United Kingdom. These were then sort of very patiently put these together using sort of like, new sort of like methods in economics to construct a time series of Malaya's GDP and component from 1900 to 1939. I think it's a wonderful sort of like website, and it shows the kind of like active interpretation that we can continue to sort of like bring as we engage with materials from the past.
And as a historian yourself, what are your hopes for the future of archiving in Malaysia?
Well, that's a very big question. So I guess what I hope is that the archivist will be willing to sort of like explore new approaches when it comes to public engagement, especially with the technology that's now available to us today. I think, I've always sort of like say this, I think librarians and archivists are probably some of the most generous people in the world, and they have the patience to, help you with your research in comparison to sort of academics who are very often sort of like, engrossed in their own research project, right? Archivists actually play a very sort of important role as a facilitator of knowledge, because in many cases, they do know where to find things and help would be able to sort of help you navigate through a system that you might not be sort of like familiar with. So if in the past archivists are generally sort of like recognized as custodians of knowledge, I think today they're beginning to sort of like delegate and share this role with the public, right? And inviting the public in to participate in the process of building up historical knowledge of our past. I've already said that, I think the Citizen Archive sort of project is a really good example of how we can really engage the public and get them to actively build new sort of like archival information and share this widely and expand its sort of like reach. But I think more importantly, we need to start recognizing that the archive doesn't just tell the story of the Kerajaan or the government, but in today's sort of like context, it is also a repository of many meaningful stories belonging to the Rakyat. It can complicate how we understand ourselves. So don't give up on it yet.
Simon, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Simon Soon from the Cultural Centre at UM, as well as the Malaysian Design Archive, talking about the importance or the role of archives and archivists in preserving our history. And the question here is, how many of us have actually been to Arkib Negara or the National Archive, or any archive for that matter? And if that's not how you're engaging with Malaysian history, and I don't blame you, then how are you? You know, are you reading stuff? Have you... Or do you care about it at all beyond, you know, learning sejarah in school? Let us know. Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.